Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Time now to go to the very top of the Cats, and I do speak of the president himself. And, well, if he's going out at the next AGM, can he bookend his time as president of the club with premierships? He took over from Frank Costa at the end of 2010. 2011 was a premiership year. Can 2020 be one as well? Colin Carter, thanks for joining us on K-Rock Football. Tom King, Ben Casanilia and Mark Neild joining you from the K-Rock Hub. How are things in Brisbane, and can you give us a sense of the mood in the Cats camp?
Well, first of all, I can tell you that it's raining heavily outside at the moment. So, and I hope you can hear me. I'm trying to find a spot near a function here where... Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can hear you fine.
Okay, no, and the team's been terrific over there, and everybody associated has been terrific over the last couple of months. Relationships, obviously, it's testing at times to be living with people 24/7, but the atmosphere is consistently positive, supportive. The support staff, the players who aren't selected, have been fantastic in helping the guys prepare. So we're pretty confident that nothing's been left on the table in terms of preparing for this game.
When you sign up as president of a football club, Colin, you sign up for all types of situations, but pandemic's not on the list.
No, that wasn't on the list. And our people have been terrific. I mean, when this started 6 months ago and the competition was deferred, we were looking at a huge hole because probably $10 million, $11 million a year of our revenue comes from reserve seat sales, about $1 million a game. And so not being able to provide that to our members was a huge, potentially a huge hit to our bottom line. But our members, our donors, our sponsors, philanthropists have stuck with us in an incredible way. And so we're going to finish up the year almost at a break even, which is and with a manageable level of debt, which would have been unprecedented, unthinkable. 3 or 4 or 5 months ago. So we're very grateful.
Is there a potential, Colin, that if you were to win tonight and then from the merchandise sales and the memorabilia sales that come from that, that might actually push you potentially into the black?
Yes, it would. The funny thing about finals economics is we've worked out a number of times that unless you actually win the grand final, you don't make any money out of them. And in fact, if you get tipped out earlier, you can actually be in the negative. But there's no doubt if you win the flag, you've got merchandise sales. You'd probably also say that this is not the ideal year to be selling merchandise because it's pretty hard to get to the customers because of restrictions on retail. But no, it'd be cream on the cake and would put us into a positive position for the year for sure.
Colin, has it surprised you that the backers or the reaction of the backers of the football club have stuck so fat throughout this year? Has that surprised you to a degree?
That's a hard question to answer. I mean, we didn't assume it, and we didn't think that we were entitled to it. But no, I think people love the footy club, and this was their way of about 90% of our revenue arrived, regardless of the situation. And so, I guess all we can say is to our members and the sponsors and the coterie groups and the philanthropists that we're enormously grateful. Next year has its own challenges because it's one thing to ask people to support you, essentially giving a donation for 1 year, to ask them to do it for 2 years. And so all of the clubs, particularly those based in Victoria, are a bit concerned about what's going to happen next year because it's not entirely clear that we'll be able to have 100% crowds filling our stadium. And so we've been spending a lot of time trying to produce various scenarios of what happens if there are no crowds, 25%, 50%, 75% and so forth. And so we're not assuming next year is going to be easy either.
Colin, I know the focus is very much on what happens in the next 3 or 4 hours, and you know it's potentially an historic night for the football club. But have you had discussions with Brian Cook and other hierarchy within the footy club about lessons that you've learnt from this year and things that potentially could be implemented going forward when you aren't in a hub? But has that been sort of part of the process of this year and navigating that the lessons you can learn and maybe take forward?
There's certainly discussions like that going on all the time. I'd say that probably the urgency of them will pick up when the season's over. Most of the discussions have been figuring out how we deal with what's happening each week up here. But there's no doubt there's change on the horizon. I mean, it's even interesting talking to a bunch of the players. Going off into a hub for 2 or 3 weeks and playing 4 or 5 games in that period isn't the horrifying prospect for a lot of the players and certainly the coaches that once upon a time it would have been. So I think we can assume there's going to be some changes come out of this. Just what they are, we're not sure. But I'm impressed with how agile. Our people are very thoughtful when they talk about the issues. They don't start from a prejudiced position that they don't like it, therefore it's not going to happen. And so I'm pretty sure that whatever the industry throws at us, we'll be in pretty good shape.
Colin, just a footy one from me. The fans are up and about. The KFC Twitter is nearly blown up with Cat fans getting very, very excited. Whose story have you enjoyed this year, just from a playing perspective? Is there a player you like following, or is there someone who you keep one eye on? Who have you liked in 2020?
Oh, look, there are so many of them, and I always get into trouble when I...
Come on, give us one, Colin. Don't sit on the fence.
Well, one I really love is Cam Guthrie. I feel... I've always felt guys who are on the squad and missed out for a premiership, like in 2011, he was non-selected player, young guy on our list, and missed out on it. So for me, a little bit of a burning desire all along has been to have another crack at a flag so that guys like Cam Guthrie can have the medal hung around their neck. There's a whole lot of stories like that. The guys that have come from other clubs, Lockie Henderson's and Zach Guthrie, Zach Tuohy's and Gary Rowan's and Luke Dalhouse. I mean, there's a stack of stories in there, but the Cam Guthrie one's one that I love. And if we win this tonight, then our commitment as a club is to land another one in the next few years. So a whole bunch of guys. Our non-selected players have been fantastic in helping our guys prepare, and it must be hard for them to see an opportunity go. So anyway, that's a little story that captures my imagination.
For Prestige Jayco, Australia's number one motorhome dealer, speaking with Cats President Colin Carter. Here's Mark Neild.
Colin, good luck tonight. One thing I'd be interested to hear what your opinion on, or at least give us a bit of a summary on. Look, we've heard a lot about the players and the coaching group and some of the people that have found their way up to Queensland in the hub. Now, we do know that a big part of the Geelong Footy Club actually is still down here, and the people that are working here. What has the club done? What have you put in place to ensure that those people that are still down here at this part of the coalface of the club feel connected to what's about to happen this evening?
Well, there's a lot of effort, and you can never be sure you've done enough of it. But, for example, we put in place a meals program early on to help people at home, particularly when the one half of the couple was away. So, and that's been massively appreciated, and that lasted until probably a few weeks ago, right from the very start of the lockdown. We're very conscious of the fact that a whole lot of our people are back there. They've been having to work remotely, in some cases under pretty difficult circumstances. The club, like all clubs, has gone through some redundancies. We've had to reduce our cost structure. About a third of the soft cap came out, which meant salary reductions for just about everybody, and some jobs were lost. And the same in the non-football side. There have been redundancies and salary reductions as well. So there's been a lot of hardship across the system. And the remarkable thing is, when you talk to our people, that's not the first thing that comes to mind. And so we're very grateful. I'm not sure, I can't say, but in every case we've crossed all the T's and dotted the I's with everybody downstairs, down around Geelong, but we've certainly done our best too. And to some extent, people in Geelong have been a little bit better off than people who are actually living in Melbourne, where they haven't been able to meet at all. We had a couple of functions at the club yesterday, which gathered people together for meals, which is fantastic, and that wouldn't have been possible up in Melbourne, I suspect.
No, I think you're right. Thanks for that. That was a really good summary of the lengths that the club are going to make sure that everybody is involved and everyone's contribution is valued. Just one from a personal note. Now, Colin, you've been around footy and around the Geelong Footy Club for a long time. This year, spending some time up in Queensland, have you yourself reflected on what you've seen with the footy department and the players? And is it as close as you, even if it was for, I'm not sure how long you're up there for, but is that as close as you've got? And have you learnt something about how they go about it?
I've spent more time with our people in the last 8 weeks than I have in the previous 10 years. And
wow.
And I'd have to say that, and that's partly because I don't think board members should be hanging around the footy department all the time. I've never had any sense of being restricted from being in there. But when you're living with them, and you're bumping into them when you go up to get your morning coffee or every meal you're having with them, it's very different. And I'm deeply, deeply impressed by the quality of relationships between our people. And I think, as I said, a lot of this, obviously a credit to our leadership group, but it's also a credit to the fringe players in the team, the marginal players who aren't getting games. They've been fantastic. And I think our staff, both here and down in Melbourne, have been phenomenal. So I think everybody can be really proud. And it's not an accident that our footy clubs are here today. A lot of good work and a lot of solid relationships were required to get us here.
Colin, the AGM, I believe, has been pushed back to January to allow, obviously, for this season to be wrapped up and for finances to be calculated and the like. Have you changed your stance on your presidency, and will that come to a conclusion at that AGM, or have you reviewed that in light of what's taken place this year?
No, I was the one who pushed for having a tenure limit of 12 years on the board. I think it's important. There's no hard and fast rule on that, but I think it's right, and we've got a very good board. We've got people who can take over from me. So extending the AGM out into January rather than the December gives me another month, which I will relish. But the time will then be to hand it over to somebody else, and I hope I bow out on that day.
Okay. Is there any indication of who your replacement might be, Colin? Can you give us an inside word there?
I'd prefer not to, but the board's already pretty clear on who that's going to be.
Okay, fantastic. Before we let you go, Colin, we know who your tip is, but can you give us your first goal kicker and your Norm Smith medalist?
Recognising, of course, that whatever I say is completely useless, but Tom Hawkins, the goal, and I'll stick with Cam Guthrie for the Norm Smith medalist.
Yeah, no, some smart people in the Geelong Addy might have picked Cam Guthrie for the Norm Smith medal yesterday. Benny, just looking over at you. Colin, really appreciate your time. It's been a tough old year. We appreciate you giving us some of your thoughts as we get into a grand final. No doubt you'll be riding every kick, mark and bump through the 2.5 hours of the game, and hopefully Chris Scott and Joel Selwood are handling the silverware come around 10 o'clock tonight. Good luck, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks very much, and we dare to dream.
Absolutely. Colin Carter joining us from the Gabba, where it is continuing to rain.
Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.